There we go. Praise God. Well, let's pray before we jump into what God has given me. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this assembly, Father, what you've already orchestrated, Father. We are in tune with your will, plan, and purpose, Father. We know that at this time, Father, your word goes forth, Father. We speak as the oracles of you, Father. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water, Father. And I thank you that you have a word in season for us, your people, Father. We hear directly from you. We hear by the unction of your Holy Spirit, Father. And we thank you for this time, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Blessings to you. It's good to be at House of the Lord. It's an honor to be here serving under my man of God, Pastor Jim. Of those of you who haven't been here, as some of you have been here longer than me, since 91, came to know Pastor Jim. It was actually through my brother, John Hendricks. It was actually through Sister Gail, finding out, who are these people? Where are they being taught? So I had to come check it out myself and rode with Brother Damon and Sister Tara to come to House of the Lord to see what it is. Why did John have all of this fire in him? And I'm glad I followed him. Thank you, brother, for not keeping House of the Lord a secret. Now, the rest of you, don't keep House of the Lord a secret. There is truth being taught here. God's presence is definitely here. Can I get the board, and then y'all can hand those out. We're continuing on. There were some things that God has still shared with me as it relates to what God had given Brother Damon for this year. Y'all remember, told us several P's to ponder as we press into this year. And last week we talked about pursuit. Today we're going to talk about process. We're going to look at process. And with that, there was a scripture that he gave, one of the scriptures that he gave in relation to process was Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And so I want to start there. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, and this is the New American Standard. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Thank you. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So that's where we're going to spend our time today. One of the things that pastors always encouraged us to do as growing in the Lord is to read the scriptures in different translations. And so, as customary, I've got the New American Standard and I also have the Amplified. I was always looking for a combination because I like those particular translations. Pastor had shared with us that New American tends to be the, as far as a study Bible, tends to be the most accurate, if you will, and so I was looking for a New American Standard, and then I just like the Amplified, because the Amplified just preaches, you understand, there's a lot in it, and so I was looking for a combination of New American Standard and Amplified, and they didn't have any. I was looking on the internet, and so I called, talked to Mama Jo, who at the time was running the bookstore. She said, "I'll see what I can do." I like that. I'll see what I can do. And lo and behold, Mama Jo found this book that many of you all have, that we have in our bookstore, a combination, New American Standard Amplified. And I've been loving it ever since. Mine's starting to fall apart. I'm not telling you that for any gifts. I like my falling apart Bible. It's got my notes in it, my highlights, my chicken scratch. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I do want to read the rendering as we're studying this morning from the Amplified Bible, and I've given this to you in your notes as well. It says, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God." I love that translation. Walk by the Spirit. We're going to look at that in a little more in depth today as we get into the things that God has shared with me. But when it says to walk, it's to regulate one's life by. Now, you know, you think about to regulate one's life by, we've all got to be honest and ask ourselves, do we in fact allow our lives to be regulated by the Holy Spirit? Now, it's not a question of do we have the Spirit of God in operation in our life, because if you are saved, you have the Spirit of God in operation in your life. The question is my life regulated by the Holy Spirit? And that's the challenge and what I want to look at today as we look at this, one of the P's to ponder, which was process. One of the scriptures that Damon gave was Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, in the Amplified, what I like about this is it talks about living or walking and living habitually in the Spirit. And then it talks about not gratifying the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. And if we're honest with ourselves, this is an ideal for a lot of us. This is an ideal scripture. This is an ideal calling for our life, is to have the Spirit of God regulate our life. What God had shared with me is that we periodically do things by the Spirit, some more periodic than others. Unfortunately, it seems some Christians may habitually gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh and periodically walk in the Spirit. That's the opposite of what God intended for us. My walk in the Spirit should not be a periodic thing. It should be habitual. Gratifying the cravings and desires of the flesh should not be a habitual thing. It should be periodic, if any. It should actually be none, but, you know, 1 John tells us, I think it's 1 John, tells us, hey, those who are born of God do not sin. Then later on it says, but if you do sin, you have the covering of God, you have grace. And so I want to look at this dynamic and change this with truth this morning, that we as believers, as partakers of the divine nature, we are to habitually flow by the Spirit of God. Not sometime, not every once in a while. Our batting average needs to be much, much higher than what it is. And so that's what we're going to look at. But before we do that, I want to look at this another scripture, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Verse 17, "The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." The scripture says, the one who does the will of God. This is what we're after, to continuously, habitually do the will of God and not stumble upon it or do it on Mondays because we had church on Sunday. You understand? We want to live it every single day of the week. When it says here in this particular passage, do not love the world nor the things in the world, it doesn't mean that we're not to enjoy some things. It doesn't mean that you don't get to enjoy the Super Bowl. It means that things like that should not be prized above the things of God. That's what it means when it's talking about loving the things of the world. Don't let anything be a prize over the things of the Lord, the things of God. That should be our ultimate, what we seek after first. Y'all remember last Sunday we talked about Matthew chapter 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That seek ye first means first and foremost, or above all things. That's what we should be after. There's a priority of actions in our life, or there should be. And that priority needs to be governed by the Holy Spirit. Getting back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, if you flip there, or you can look at it in your notes, that's what it means to regulate one's life in the Holy Spirit. And I want to spend a moment talking about how do we habitually regulate our life by the Holy Spirit. Well, we already know that our lives consist of habits, some good, some bad, right? I have habits in my life. One habit that I have is coming to church. Church is a good habit, right? Yeah. Come Sunday, come Wednesdays, for the most part. I even come on special occasions if I can. It's a good habit to have. It's definitely a blessing to be here. I would like to say that every Sunday and every Wednesday, I'm led to come to church. But that's just not the case. I come because it's Sunday and Wednesday, and we have regular assemblies, you understand. That is a good habit to fall into or to have. Not going to church is a bad habit. I'll show you this in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And then verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the what? Habit of some. So obviously this is a bad habit, forsaking the assembling of getting together with the brotherhood. We're going to spend some time later in this passage, but it says, instead, we're to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, obviously, good habits, going to church, bad habit, not going, or not assembling ourselves together. You know, we've got plenty of other habits in our life. Brushing and flossing, that's a good daily habit. Yeah. See there? Got a witness. You know, we need to take care of ourselves, right? Brushing and flossing. Exercising is a good habit. Exercising periodically throughout the week, that's a good habit, right? Taking the daily frustrations you have on your out on your spouse and kids is a bad habit. Many of us have dealt with that. It's like you had a bad day, and what do? Those who are closest to you end up suffering for it. That is a bad habit, not a good habit. There are ways that we need to cope, and we're going to talk about that as we look at Galatians 5:16. This is one I'm not going to look at my wife when I write this, read this. Being on your cell phone during a face-to-face conversation is a bad habit. This is not for you. This is for me. We need to have, conversation. We need to be involved with one another, those closest to us. That is a bad habit if you're on a device when someone is communicating with you. Y'all understand that? Well, we're going to look at this even more. Go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, if you haven't left there and you still got it in your notes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 admonishes us to walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. Today we want to talk about how to do that, give you several different examples that I employ in my life, things that I do, things that I don't do that I'm learning how to do, and then share with you even more what the Spirit of God had given me. I want to start off by giving you some breaking down what researchers say is the core of a habit. So when you look at habits, they all start with, that's not good. What they call a cue, routine, and reward. I don't generally like those words, so I'm going to say there's a trigger, routine, and a reward or reason that you do it. So there's always something that triggers you doing this habit. There is the habit itself, what the routine is, and then there's the reward or the reason. So let me give you a couple of examples that we're all familiar with or have heard of in this church. I've heard ministers come, and they'll talk about how they're riding around with Pastor Jim in the city, and they say every time Pastor Jim reaches the high point in the city, some will say, 183 or whatever, or other places, but every time Pastor Jim reaches a high point in the city, he interrupts the conversation that they have, and he says, Austin, Texas, you are the revival center of the nation, and House of the Lord is at the center of that revival. Well, what's the cue or the trigger of that? Every time he gets to a high point in the city, he wants to decree over it. And so the routine is he speaks what God told him about Austin, Texas. Why does he do that? Because there's benefits in decreeing and speaking the word of God, particularly a rhema word that God has given you. This is a habit, not a bad thing. And when I'm talking about habits, I'm not talking about things that are done by rote. I'm talking about things that are done intentionally. When I say rote, you know, you get in your car, you put your seatbelt on. That's just mechanical. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about the intentional acts that we have placed in our life that give place for the Spirit of God to work in and through our lives. And that's what we're going to spend our time as we're researching and looking out Galatians chapter 5, 16. Coming to church, we just talked about earlier. It's a habit. It's not a bad habit. We already looked at what a bad habit is, not coming to church. But there's benefits that we get from attending and assembling ourselves together. There's a blessing in the fellowship. There's a blessing in the encouragement, and we'll go back to that in a little bit. We just had our moment of honoring the Lord with all of our wealth, right? Well, for some of us, that is a regular habit. We get paid. We have an increase. We know to return the tithe. Well, what is that cue or that trigger? Increase. When we get increase, we return the tithe. Why do we do that? Because we want to celebrate the covenant rights that God has given us. It's this constant flow, and we're talking about how do we make room for the Holy Spirit to operate, to regulate our life. It's by the things that we're doing on a daily basis, not the things that we do periodically, but the things that we do regularly. We're making room for the anointing of God to flow in our life. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Romans chapter 8. Verse 13 says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The Amplified again, I like this. It says, for if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. So we're talking about, again, habits, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Well, what are the deeds of the flesh? If you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, right before the fruit of the Spirit, you heard John minister on this, I don't remember when it was, several weeks back. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Remember, he talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and then there was behaviors, things that we obviously shouldn't be doing because we've been redeemed from. But if you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, where do we want to go? Through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when Paul wrote to the Romans and said, look, you need to put to death habitually the deeds of the flesh, in Galatians, we see what some of those are. You say, well, Kenneth, I'm looking at this and I don't do any of those. That's great. That's good for you. However, to some degree, there are things that we're all dealing with or struggling with. And we are to put to death the deeds that don't line up with the kingdom of God, the things that aren't in correlation with the pursuit of God and his kingdom. One of the things that I had shared with the staff at our staff meeting was that for me, the Spirit of God was saying, this year, or at least this season, start eliminating some things that weren't of him. Take inventory of your life. Take inventory of your time. What are you doing with your time? How can your time be used to glorify God even more? There's a scripture that tells us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Take a look at how we're spending our money, our resources. What are things that we're doing that don't necessarily line up with the kingdom? Or better yet, we've got goals and visions, and if our spending doesn't line up with those things, then we need to eliminate some things. As it relates to, our vocation, the things that we're doing on our job, are there ways that we can do a better job of representing the kingdom of God in our sphere of influence where we work? If there's things that we're not doing or things that we are doing that don't represent the kingdom, we need to take stock and start eliminating those different things. And the disconnect that most people have, and I'll just cut to the chase, when they come to assembly, it's they hear a good word and they say, oh, that is great. That is a great teaching, or that is a great scripture. I needed to hear that. And then by Tuesday, nothing's changed. And the reason for most of us is because we haven't tied it to something. So I'll give you an example. So, you may come to assembly and feel like, man, I need to spend more time in the Word. Well, it's great that we realize that we need to spend more time in the Word, but what's going to change? What are we tying that to? Are we going to spend time specifically more in the morning when we get up? Or are we going to do it before we go to bed? Or are we going to do it during lunchtime? What is going to trigger for you to make that change in your life, for me to make that change in my life? We say, I want to be more in tune with the Spirit of God. I want to sense his presence even more. Okay, that's good. What's going to change to cause us to do that? What's going to be the trigger to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit? As long as we leave things as ideal, we don't necessarily make changes. And what we're after and what we're talking about today is obviously modifying our behavior so that there's change in our life, so we actually make room for the anointing of God to flow. Make room for the Spirit of God to lead and guide us into all truth. I want to flip over to, I want to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're dealing with bad habits right now. We're going to move on to some good habits here shortly. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, again, this is these are things that Spirit of God has blessed me with over the years and that have helped me out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." So what are we talking about here? There's temptation that arises, if you will. And if you are not careful, instead of avoiding the temptation, you just, submit to it. Do whatever arises as far as that temptation. And what's interesting is, why would somebody keep in this cycle if it's not good for you? Well, reward, don't always think of reward as something good. Reward can be something comfortable. Reward can be something that's status quo. You've heard it said many, many times that it's much easier. If the pain of changing is greater than the pain of remaining the same, then you're just going to remain the same. You've got to want to change. You've got to want to do better. You've got to want to get out of this cycle before it'll actually change. And so we have here a temptation, submit. That wasn't the plan of God. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, is our promise or an example of our way out. The Spirit of God says that there is no temptation that you can encounter that God is not going to provide a way of escape. So instead of submitting to temptation, you obviously, when tempted, routine is to look for God's way of escape. Look for God's way of escape. This could literally be, as it was for me, freshman year, a knock on the door. I was in Moore Hill, and knock on the door. I was like, "Hey, I'm busy. We're about to go do some other stuff. Who is this at the door?" And kept hearing this knock. Friend and I, we're going to get into some trouble, get into some things that we shouldn't be doing, right? Still, I was like, "Dude, how do you not, why are you still knocking at the door?" I go look out the door, and it's Camille. It's like, oh my gosh, it's Reverend Camille. It's Reverend Camille back in the days of college was like my Pastor Jim. I had to, whatever she said, that's what we do. She was a mentor to me. And so she wouldn't let go. She's like, "Hey," I was like, open the door. She says, "Hey, we're hanging out in Damon's room. We're going to go fellowship. You want to come?" I was like, "Yes." I had other plans for the evening, but hey, let's do this. You are Reverend Camille. And so we went and hung out in Brother Damon's room. I don't know what we got into later. As customary, John was there and some other folk, but, this was keeping me out of trouble. It was a knock on the door. Leave room for God to reach you. I'm just talking practical things. Those who are about to get into some stuff, they turn their phone off so others can't reach them. Don't turn that phone off, because you are going to need it if you get yourself into a jam. Look for those practical ways of escape. That's simple as that. Another scripture I give you is Romans chapter 6, verse 14, which totally blessed me as a new believer. And this scripture says that sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin does not have mastery over you. And so for me as a new believer, I assumed or thought that I got saved and then I need to get free. That's what I thought, as many new believers do. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have a relationship with God, but there's things that I need to fix or get set free of if I'm going to walk in the level that I see, you know, whether it's Reverend Camille or Brother John or these other people. And the fact of the matter is, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When we receive our Redeemer as Lord and Savior, we're already free. There is no, well, let's go to the next stage of freedom. And so when I got to this verse and meditated, I realized, hey, I can do what I want to do. Paul says all things are, you know, lawful, but not all things are expedient or beneficial. You as a believer have the freedom to do what you want to do. Now, I know in some traditions and churches they won't tell you that, but yes, you have the freedom to do what you want to do, but not everything is beneficial for you. And so if we want to live this life, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, where we're regulated by the Spirit of God, we've got to open ourselves up to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is beneficial for me? What are the things that I need to be doing to make room for your anointing to be more present in my life, to make room for your power to flow through me, not just on Sunday, but on a daily basis? And so that's what we want to get into. Several scriptures here I'll run through them with you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us to study to show ourselves approved workmen who need not be ashamed. The operative word there is study. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, what we expect or anticipate is for the men and women of God to study out the scriptures, come back, tell us what the scriptures say, and that's the easy button for us. We don't have to do study on our own. And yet all of us are called to study the scripture, whether you are a teacher, a minister, or not, which in actuality, all of us are ministers. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so if we're going to make changes, if we're going to allow for the Spirit of God to flow in our life, what are we doing to study the Word? Are we making place to actually spend time in the Word? Or are we just waiting for someone to share it with us? This is where, as they say, the rubber meets the road, right? Well, it's not going to happen unless you make the study time happen. You tie it to something going on in your life. You make room for it. And in order to make room, there are things that may need to be eliminated. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. This talks about laying hold of or holding fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What have we done in our life to make room for confessing the Word of God? See, most of us, well, not most of us, not this church, some Christians, gotta make it like that, some Christians are, you know, we talk about being led of the Spirit, when in actuality, some Christians are waiting, they're waiting to be led to be led. And there's a difference between being led by the Spirit and being led to be led. Someone who's waiting to be led or being led to be led will say, well, when the Spirit moves upon me, then I'll pray. When the Spirit moves upon me, then I will study the word. When the Spirit moves upon me, then I will do such and such. And so what we do is spend time waiting, and God is waiting on us. He's saying, look, if you open the word, I will reveal myself to you. If you pray in tongues, I will open up the mysteries of heaven to you. If you pray with understanding, I can change the circumstances. Better yet, the angels that hearken unto the word can change the circumstances around you. He's waiting on us to put these things in place. Y'all have heard it over and over. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, right? The vessel. We dictate this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Continuing on, it says, let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. So, one of the things that this passage tells us to do is consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Well, in order for us to do that, we've got to not be selfish. We've got to be thinking about others. And so one of the triggers for me that I stopped doing a while back that I need to get back to is when I was in assembly and I was getting a fresh word from the Lord as pastor was ministering, others would be ministering, I would make a note on the side of my notes, very bottom right corner, of people I noticed were missing. And what I would do with that is, pray for them and then see if I can reach out to them throughout the week. You know, whether it's sending out a card or just calling them or even emailing them something that I learned from the message or the ministry. Well, what does that do? That gets me in the framework of stimulating one another for good works. Reminding them that, hey, God is still speaking to them and through them, and you know, maybe they missed because they were on vacation, or maybe they just didn't feel like coming. Whatever the case may be, it shows that, hey, they were thought about and cared for, that someone reached out to them. This is the admonition that we're given in Scripture. Well, if we just leave it up to, well, I'll just wait, and if the Spirit of God puts somebody on my heart, then I'll reach out to them. Is that enough? No, we can easily make mention of, in our notes, well, who wasn't here? How can I reach out to them? Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're overcome with something. And then, of course, do the routine of reaching out, loving on them. Don't, obviously, beat them over the head for, you love them. You share the grace of God with them and reach out to them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Well, how do we do this on a daily basis? You know, something that I've started doing that's helped out because, you know, we are very thankful people, but do we express it to God? And so one of the things that I've started doing, and don't let this get out of the room, is I've started journaling things that I'm thankful for. I've always been one to hate keeping diaries or having a diary. I'm a man's man. I grew up thinking diaries were for women. But I started writing down the things that I'm thankful for the day. I can show you in my journal, but the effort it takes to actually write something down, you have to literally think about things that you're thankful for in order to write it down. If I don't do that, then I can just walk around in this complacent, oh, I'm thankful. Okay, but what are you really thankful for? And now when you start spending time throughout your days, because I know at the end of the day I got to write something down that I was thankful for in the day, it causes me to focus on, okay, what is the Spirit of God doing in my day? How is he operating? How is he using me to be a light in my sphere of influence? Because at the end of the day, my trigger, I'm going to have to write something down. So I've got to be cognizant of and be in tune with the Spirit of God. Just little things like that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Well, if you'll notice as I'm going through these scriptures, these are things that we should always be doing on a daily basis. And so I'm just picking one after the other to help us live out this Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. In this verse, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I have, throughout my week, can't necessarily say that about Mondays, getting ready for work, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, of course, everybody loves Saturday because it's, you're off. Well, some of us. But you get to Sunday, I always have good Sundays because Sunday mornings, as we're getting ready, I put on Pandora. I've got my Fred Hammond station. So there's praise and worship that's coming through the house on Sunday mornings. And I just love worshiping and praising God. And Preston's always into it. He wants to know what song's coming on next. And he said, oh, I like this song. He even confuses some of the people. He used to, when he was really little, a picture of Kurt Carr would come on. And he'd be like, Uncle D, which he calls Demetrius. It's like, no, that's not Demetrius, that's Kurt Carr. But that's what he thought, Uncle D, that's okay. But it's a time of praise and worship. Well, the interesting thing is I love Sunday mornings because of it. I spend time in praise and worship. So the question the Holy Spirit asked me was, why don't you do this every day? Why does it have to be on Sundays? So the trigger for me is, well, how about every morning I put on some praise and worship, and I do it softly in the house, but put that on and just jam out in the Lord every day. It doesn't have to be a Sunday morning thing. Again, what's the trigger? What am I going to adjust in my life so that I make room for the anointing of God to flow? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Our Redeemer, it says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Well, the admonition for me in looking at this scripture, and again, these are all things that I've noticed over the years that God has spoke to me, and in this particular one, it says that we are to pray at all times. Well, for me, my challenge prior to this was, how do I fit in 15 minutes? Or, you know, people talk about having your daily devotional, right? Or your daily time. And so how do I fit this in? And when I got to this scripture, 15 minutes is good, but this told me I need to always be praying. So what's going to trigger that for me? I need to always be praying. Well, if we can at least get started in doing daily, you know, some of us are not morning people like myself. I'm a morning person, not necessarily a night person. I hit a wall. Some people know about hitting that wall. But at night, you know, that wall comes for me at 9 o'clock. You know, I can't hang like I used to at college. So I hit a wall. But in the mornings, you know, for some of you, you may not be morning people. And so you kind of roll out of bed and your knees just hit the ground. Well, that's a perfect time. Your knees are already on the ground. Just say a little prayer. Speak the word of God. God, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Father, that this day everything our hand touches prospers. I thank you, Father, that we will experience your favor today. I thank you that even as David wrote in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of our life. I thank you that even as we're getting ready for our day, Father, you are having your angels orchestrate things on our behalf so that the day is made easy, because we know that we walk in the power of God and that we walk under his anointing. And he said his yoke is easy and his burden light. Now, if you did that every morning, how different would your day be? instead of your knees hitting the ground, we'll see how we handle what hits us today. There's a difference. Again, we're talking about creating the atmosphere, letting the Spirit of God regulate our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is all stuff for me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. There's another scripture that comes from Psalms that I kind of marry with this, and that is, unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor, labor in vain. And so for me, there was a time where every day when I would get to work, got a book from the bookstore, and there was, it was the easy button, passages, or actually pages, depending on what's going on in your business, that you can pray over your job, your situation, your clients, those you come in contact with. And I would just speak this over on a daily basis. Well, I've gotten away from that, but it's time to, hey, let's make room for the anointing of God to flow in our life, to have our life regulated by the Holy Spirit. And so every day, a trigger for me is when I get to work, let's begin decreeing over clients, over employees, over those that we come in contact with, over those that we're coming into meetings with. This is how we regulate our lives by the Spirit of God. Let me get back to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to show you the last things that God had shared with me on that. Well, not the last, but for this particular time. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. This is what we're after. And I will share with you the fastest way there. All right. These are in no particular order, but if we want our lives governed by the Holy Spirit, it's as simple as that. We are to pray the word continuously. And when you're done with that, pray in the Spirit continuously. And when you're done with that, do the word. Scriptures tell us to not be hearers only, but doers of the word. We are to hear the word, whether it's in this assembly, whether it's in your time of study, your time alone with God. Hear the word, then you study it, or you hear it here, or you're listening to a ministry on your car ride home. Study the word, and then do the word. I used to, every day going to work, my commute was, I don't know about y'all's, but 45 minutes. I work on B Capes. That's a long drive. And I would flip between five different radio stations. As soon as I got tired of the other one, I'd move on to the next and to the next. And there was a couple of Christian stations in there that, you know, aren't necessarily Christian, if you know what I mean. You know, I'm listening to, won't mention in case they're listening, but listening to one of the stations, and, you know, here's the thought for the day. This thought comes from so-and-so. And they write, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. I'm like, what? That's what I'm like, wow. Wow, this is their thought for the day. no, I need some meat. And so I, what I started doing, Joel was here ministering No Excuses, and don't remember a lot of what he said, but I remember one thing that he brought, and it was this blue speaker. I said, oh, that's nice. Where do you get that? Because I've always tried to hook up my phone to my car and got a 2010, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work. I can do Bluetooth, but you can't play Pandora and other things or podcasts. Anyway, point is, saw Brother Joel with that. I was like, oh, I want to get one. So I went online, ordered one, a Bose speaker. Y'all have seen me carry it every once in a while. Connected to my, or have it sitting in my car. Turn on my podcast. 40 minutes every single day just hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word. And it's creating an atmosphere for God to move. God speaks to me through the podcast and also outside of it, meaning someone will be ministering or teaching on something and God's talking to me about something else. Why? Because I've created this atmosphere. I'm not listening to whatever the, I don't even know what the latest music is now, but I'm not listening to that anymore. I've got the Word of God, or I've got praise and worship. That's creating an atmosphere. And if we're going to live out Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, as God calls us, then we've got to create this atmosphere. If you look in Luke chapter 16, no, I'm not sorry, not Luke. John chapter 16, verse 13, refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of what? Truth. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them by your word, for your word is. So, if we're going to live out Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we've got to speak the word. We've got to spend time, as we've already heard in assembly earlier, pray in the spirit and do the word. Same, as we're studying things out, hear what God is saying. Study it out. Make sure you can find it in Scripture, and then, of course, do it in no particular order. And this is your cycle. Continuously praying the Word, praying in the Spirit, doing the Word. Because here's the thing. If you don't take this step, which for some of us, this is where we miss it, then we can end up quenching the Spirit of God in our lives. And the Bible says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. He's a Spirit of truth, so this is what he's leading and guiding us into. He's always leading and guiding us into the truth, so we've got to pray in the Word, pray in the Spirit, and then do the Word. That's how we live out this process and what God has given me as it relates to the admonition from Brother Damon. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing us back to the basics, Father. We all do want an atmosphere for you to flow here in our lives, not just Sunday mornings, Father, but every single day. We want to create an atmosphere for you to flow by your Holy Spirit, to use us mightily, Father, and most importantly, Father, for us to be open to and receptive to your word, Father, to your flow, to manifesting your kingdom will, plan, and purpose here on the earth in our sphere of influence. Amen. I will share this last thing with you, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Richard. As God was talking to me about this, one of the things that he shared is that there's a reason we come to assembly, which we see in Hebrews chapter 10, one of the reasons we should be coming to assembly is to stimulate one another to good deeds, every single assembly. The other thing that he shared with me is that, you know, if we're to live this out, we expect God to move. We expect to hear a word here. We expect for the flow of the Holy Spirit to happen here. That's a given for all of us. God said it doesn't have to be just an expectation here. This can be an expectation for every single day of our life. We've got to put steps in place to make it happen. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I saw myself today. Some of it was good. Yeah, I'm doing that. Some of it was, I need to work on that. Did you see yourself in the process? Good word, brother. Good word. Good word. We want to be a blessing to Brother Kenneth. I don't think he probably got that overnight. He worked on that probably years, learning and gaining that wisdom and a lot of effort. So we want to be a blessing to him in return because he has blessed us. Now, very good, very good. But if you forget it, if you don't do it, it will have profited you nothing. I'm stimulating you to good works. Praise God. Stand with us and let's bless the Lord for a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just celebrate you. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for the Spirit, your anointing. Father, we have heard your word. And we believe your word. Now I thank you that it is our endeavor, it is our intention to do the word that we have heard today. Father, I thank you that your anointing, that your Holy Spirit seals the word that we've heard in our heart, and we will not be able to get away from it. Father God, that at every turn, you will remind us. And Father, help us to be receptive to the word. When you prompt us, when you tell us, when you remind us of the things that we've heard today, that we will not let that go. We do it. We perform what you have called us to do, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of your blessings. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We are thankful for the word that we heard, for your anointing and your Holy Spirit that seals that word in us and to us. Father, we bless your name. We bless your name. Glory and honor and praise to you forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We praise you, mighty God. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Lord of glory, Lord of truth, our Lord, my Lord, hallelujah, and my Father. I love you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we celebrate and rejoice in our pastors. We celebrate and rejoice for divine health for Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. We celebrate and rejoice for divine blessings beyond their expectation, beyond even our comprehension, Father God, that you have blessed them and you continue to bless them with finances, with abundance, with overflow, with good things that you have promised them. And I thank you, Father God, that life is flowing freely in their bodies, that they are restored daily with life, with strength, with health, with peace, Father God. I thank you for wisdom, for understanding as they go through each day and every way, Father God. I thank you that they are growing stronger, 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 and that their life from this point on is the best that it's ever been. We thank you for that, Father. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate just a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate victory today. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I call you blessed. I pray that the blessing of the Lord on your life, everywhere you go, you are led forth with favor, led by peace, and that everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you adhere to the word of the Lord. Amen. Blessings to you. You are blessed. Go with God.